Thank you, Mr. Bledsoe, and good afternoon, brethren. We can do better than that. Do you guys do good afternoon back? Good afternoon, brethren.
Good afternoon.
Woo! It is wonderful to be in Portsmouth. It's been a while since I've been here, and I see some familiar faces, and it's good to come back to be able to spend time together, and what a picturesque setting to be able to do that in. So it's very exciting to be here. And it is a huge juxtaposition, what we have here versus what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. We live in a very service-oriented economy, very, very me-centered society. If you go up and you try to get something at the drive-thru, you tell them, hey, I'd like I'll take a number one, and I want it this size, and I want this side on it. If you go to a sit-down restaurant, a little bit fancier, you tell them what you would like. The waiter or the waitress comes up to your table, and you say, you know, I've been thinking we want to start with this, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to have this salad. And we just tell people what it is that we need, because the customer, the client, is always right. And if it's wrong, you know, I've had a steak. It comes back, and it's a little dry. You send it back. You're like, well, that's not what I ordered. That's not what I want. Go ahead and take it back and bring me another one. But when is the last time you actually asked for something? I find myself in those situations, I'm telling people what I want because, well, I'm paying you. This is what your job is. You bring me what I want. Sometimes we can fall into that. But when is the last time that we actually asked somebody for something? Said the words, may I please? I have my wife and I have a 1.5-year-old, and it's something we're working with, and you strive to have them ask for things, and you want to make sure that they're having that request made known. What is so important about asking? Is there something about asking that we should be doing or we should be striving to have in our lives? There was a few examples in the Bible. We're going to talk about asking today. At times in our prayers, we might tell God what we need. You know, God, I really need to get through this trial. It is tough. And we have these expectations. And we say, you know, God, I can come before you. I can kind of demand these things. We know that we can come before him and ask for healing. We can come before him and we can make these requests known. And sometimes our expectations are very grand. You know, when Elijah was running and he's praying to God, he had an expectation that God was going to answer in a specific way. So God answers, and he's got powerful wind, and he's got fire, and he's got all these great things that happen. And that's not how God was talking to Elijah. He was talking to him in a still, small voice. Or maybe if we're like Job, and we're going through a very deep difficulty in life, maybe we have this expectation. God, I want my day in court with you. I need to be, you should see what is happening in my life. This is not fair. It's not right. And we have this expectation that I need to be able to state my case. So sometimes in our prayer, we can have that. We can expect things to be a certain way, but we haven't put on the mindset that is important to that. We haven't had the heart that it takes to be able to ask. So again, we're going to look at today what is so important about asking. What is so important about asking? It seems like a small thing. It seems like something that is a part of our everyday life. But I have found myself having to be more hyper-diligent about it as I have a young son wandering through the house. Do I actually ask my wife? Am I modeling this behavior that I want my child to engage in? Is it something that he sees me doing? Why do we have to ask? Let's turn. We're going to start off. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 12. Book of Exodus chapter 12. There are things that asking, the act of asking, helps us with. The first one we're going to read about here in Exodus chapter 12, we're going to be in verse 35. Asking teaches and reminds us that we don't have everything. It's kind of tough for us to ask for something we already have. And if I'm sitting here and I have my Bible to give the message, I'm not going to ask somebody else to borrow their Bible. You ask if you don't have something, right? So our first point we're going to touch on here in Exodus is asking teaches us, it reminds us that we don't have everything. We don't have everything. Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. Here we have the Israelites coming out of Egypt, and God has given them a commandment here. He tells them to do things through Moses, verse 35. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. And they walked out with a high hand. God says, go ahead and ask for this stuff. You were a slave, enslaved people. You had nothing. You were made to make bricks out of practically nothing. All this hard work and all this labor and toil. And he took them out with a high hand. And on the way out, God says, go ahead and ask of the Egyptians for these things. And so they asked, and God blessed them and gave favor in their sight. And they walked out, and they plundered, and they looted the greatest nation in the world at that time. And they walked out with enough. I mean, you think about what they had. They had enough not only to build the tabernacle in the wilderness and all of the accoutrements that went with that, from the lavers to the censers. They had all of that. But then they also did that during the time of Solomon as well. There was a lot of wealth that they walked out with. There was a lot that they did. And God said, ask for it. You don't have this. I want you to have this. Ask for it. So asking helps us to remember that we don't have everything. We don't have everything. A second thing that asking does for us. Asking forces us to recognize that someone else has to give us what we're asking for. Now that may seem obvious, but as we try to be a Christian individual, we don't just go up and go take it from somebody else. My son sees a toy. He wants to play with it. I try to instill that need to ask for it, right? And as adults, we do the same thing. You don't just go take it. Somebody else has it. And if we ask, if we're asking for things, we have that in the back of our head, or maybe a little bit closer to the front of our mind, that, you know what? It requires somebody else to give it to us. We don't have it. We don't have it. We have to acknowledge that somebody else is giving it to us. Let's turn a few pages forward, depending on how small your print is in your Bible, to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Now this is an example of not the best way of asking for things, but we have here the Israelites. They journeyed from Elim, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel politely asked Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They complained. They complained. They whined and they bickered and they moaned. And they contended with Moses and Aaron. He said, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat down by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So they didn't ask politely, but they at least recognized that they didn't have the means to get themselves food. And God responds in verse 4, and he rains down bread from heaven. And the people, he says, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, and I will test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. God gave them manna. You read further in the chapter, and they whined and they complained to get meat, and so he gave them quail. But we ask for things because we don't have them, and we ask for things recognizing that, you know, it takes somebody else to give that to us. Exodus 17 here. Again, this is kind of a theme here with the Israelites. 17 verse 1, all the congregation of Israel, the children of Israel, set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of God, and they camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. So the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So they're, in a way, asking, whining, contending, pointing out that they don't have something, which I think we would all agree is not the most effective way of asking for something. But they recognize they didn't have it. And for us, we need to recognize that there are times in our lives that we don't have something. There are many times in our lives that we don't have something. Various things. A lot. Right? But if we don't have it, we have to ask for it. And we have to then recognize that we have to ask someone else for it. We have to recognize that they have it, and we have to put on that humility and that mindset to be willing to ask them. A third thing that asking, being willing to ask for something does for us, is we have to be willing to accept an answer of no. We have to be willing to accept an answer of no. Because if you're asking for it in the first place, you don't have it. Somebody else does. Somebody else has the power, the control over the good, the service, the item. They have control over that. And that means they can say no. And we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay with that. Don't ask a question if you're not willing to get no for an answer. Don't make a request if you're not willing to get no for an answer. Let's turn over to the New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think this is an important part of asking, because so many times we can have that mentality that pervades our society where, well, I asked, so therefore I should get this. I see this a lot in little kids. Well, I asked, so that now I can go up and just take the toy. I already asked for it. Well, no, you can't. We shouldn't. Well, you can, but you shouldn't do that. We have to be willing to take no for an answer. 2 Corinthians, and I'm in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Here we see a pillar in the first century church, the Apostle Paul. He says, the second half of the verse in verse 7, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, no. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That answer of no and a willingness to take the answer of no is a big step for us, because it's tough. Nobody likes to be denied. Nobody likes to be turned down. Everybody wants to be able to have everything that we want to make us comfortable, to make us happy. But if we ask and we don't have it and somebody else does, we have to be willing to accept the answer of no. And Paul was. It took him a couple times. And I know we've probably all gone through difficulties and trials in life where, man, I have been praying about this. I have been asking about this. Or if you're a little kid and you're asking somebody else for something, well, maybe if I ask more often, if I ask mom and dad five more times to be able to go and do this, or maybe if I ask dad instead of mom, it's going to, well, we ask a lot of things, and it's tough to take and accept that answer of no. But Paul here did, and there is strength and power and a lesson to learn from being willing to take that answer of no. Another example. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I think that we can all see and acknowledge the importance of being willing to take the answer of no. We want kids, we want people to be able to accept the answer of no, because, well, you know what? You can't always get what you want. And so maybe we'll throw that out there. Well, life's not fair. You can't always have that. You can't always have what you want. But the lesson that it teaches us, or that it can teach us, if we allow ourselves to be open to that, is far greater than just life not being fair. Here in Matthew chapter 26, we're going to read in verse 39. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Speaking of Jesus Christ. "He went a little farther, fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Verse 42. "Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.'" It's a pretty grave time in our Savior's life. And he recognized the gravity of what was there in front of him. That's a tough decision. It's a very difficult spot to be. I would want out of that too. I think we all, I mean, that's tough. I don't like sitting in a car seat that's uncomfortable for a short drive. The amount of discomfort that he knew was ahead of him, and he's asking. But he was willing to take no for an answer. The more important thing was he was willing to make his will and his desires subservient to the individual that he was asking. Because he recognized, this is not something that I can really make the call on. This is not something, given the entirety of the plan and the grandness of what God has in store, this is not something that I can walk away from. This is something that has been laid out. We planned this. This is what we want to happen because of the larger picture. But yet, that desire was still there not to have to go through something, to have a different outcome. And we often can want different outcomes in life. But we have to be willing to take no for an answer. A fourth thing that asking does for us. Asking gives us the opportunity to put on a mindset of humility. I think this is very apparent with the example that we just read of Jesus Christ. But asking gives us the opportunity to put on a mindset of humility. We don't always take this opportunity. I don't always take this opportunity. It's tough. Human pride gets in the way. Desire gets in the way. What our own plans were and how we had it thought out get in the way. But if we take the opportunity, asking gives us the chance to put on a mindset of humility. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 6. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. We read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." We're supposed to ask for things. Make those requests known. It's not wrong to ask for something. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We're supposed to do this with thanksgiving. It's tough to be thankful if we are bitter about not getting something that we want. If we're too focused on not having our desires met, it's tough to be thankful. We have the opportunity here to go before God, to ask for something, and to recognize that, you know what? It could be a no. It could be a yes. But you know what? We're going before God, and we have the chance to go before Him to ask for something. And He says, here, you can do this. You can do this. This is a good thing. Come to me. Let's talk. You know? Let's have a conversation here. And we can ask. And we should be thankful that we can ask for that. John 14. John chapter 14. It's tough to grant something to somebody, to give something, if you don't know that there's a need. So God wants us to be able to come to Him, wants us to be willing to come to Him to ask. And if you're Job, or if you're, insert whatever your name is, and we feel that we have a right to come before God, sometimes we can do that without having the mindset of humility. We can have these expectations of God. We can, you know what? My steak was overdone. You know what? My chicken was dry. Send it back. I deserve something else. Well, no, we don't. In all fairness, no, we don't. We need to have that mindset of humility. John chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas said, speaking to Jesus here, he says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going and how can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." And Philip says to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus responds and says, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the words themselves." You're like, what does this have to do with asking? What does this have to do with how we should ask, or the mindset of humility? Let's continue in verse 12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And we can walk out from here, we'll be like, whoa, if I ask for it in Jesus' name, it's going to happen. But you have that whole prequel to that, to the ask in my name. He says, you know, I and my Father are one. We're so close. We have a bond. We have a unity of mind. We have a unity of spirit. And you know what? The words that I'm saying are not—they're not even mine. They're what He gave me. When we think like each other, for those of you that have known somebody for a while, you know what gift to get them, don't you? Because you know them. You spent time with them. You know what they're. You know what the things are that they enjoy. You know what, and it doesn't have to be a grandiose gift. It can be a small thing, but you know what to give them. They don't have to ask. When we have a relationship with our Father, or if we have a relationship with anyone by extension, you don't ask for something off the wall. It makes no sense. We ask for something in line with that relationship. And if we're listening to God, we shouldn't be asking for things that are not in line with His will, or not in line with His will in our lives, or not in line with His plan in general. Because those things are not being requested with the mindset of humility. They're being requested with a mindset of selfish desires. We want to make sure we have that mindset of humility when we ask for things. Because He wants us to come before Him. But He says, you know what? If you're going to ask for it, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to take care of you. But we shouldn't be flippantly asking for things that are out of line. We want to have that I and you and me, and that mindset and that unity of thought to where what we request is what's in line with what God would give us. A fifth thing that asking does for us. Asking gives us the opportunity to build faith and glorify God. Asking gives us the opportunity to build faith and glorify God. Regardless of the answer. You know, if we're asking and we recognize that it's not something that we have, we recognize that God has to give it to us, that we're asking with a mindset of humility, we're okay with no being an answer. Well, it gives us the opportunity to walk into this with a chance to build some faith and to glorify God, regardless of what the answer is. Let's go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because I think that Paul's reaction to this is very important. 2 Corinthians, we were in 12, verse 9 and 10. Paul was told, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." He was told, reassess your situation. Recognize that the opportunity to glorify me through your weakness is greater than if I were to go ahead and heal you, if I were to take this thorn of the flesh away. And Paul's response is, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." It doesn't matter if the answer is yes or if the answer is no. You know, we've all had those opportunities where God gives us a resounding yes, and we get a smile too big for our faces, and we're just tickled that God has taken care of us and that He has us in the palm of His hand, and we share that, and we're excited to share that. You know what God did? You know, you hear feast stories about how people have been taken care of. You hear miracles and healings and all these great things that we share. We have the same opportunity that Paul did here to also be excited in the infirmities, in the difficult times, to also glorify God and know that, guess what? If the answer is no, that's in line with God's plan for yours or my life. That's in line with the opportunity to glorify Him and what He is doing. Maybe we're dealing with that infirmity or we're dealing with that trial so that it can be a light to someone else. We don't know, but what we should know and what we should believe is that God has given us that chance to experience whatever it is to help us to grow, to be the child, to be the individual that we need to be to glorify Him and to be a light to others. Let's go over in closing here to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You're probably all waiting for me to go here, but I'd like to save the punch for last here. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 7. We're told, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives." Everyone who asks, you know, in Christ's name, in line with the plan and the will of God, with a humble heart. Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. I'm sure that when Paul was going through his trial and he's asking and praying for that thorn of the flesh to be taken away, that he didn't feel that he was receiving. But he got that answer. My grace is sufficient. And then what does Paul do? He recognizes that he received an opportunity to glorify God and to be excited about the infirmities that he was dealing with because it glorified God. We receive whether we get specifically what we're asking or not. Him who knocks, it will be open. Verse 9, "Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." If we believe that our Father in heaven is truly a gracious and loving God, then when the answer is no, you better believe it's for yours and my good. We have to have the faith that He actually knows what He's doing. Otherwise, we're saying, "No, God, I really don't think You know what You're doing. I really think I should have that. You can go ahead and give it to me now. I'm okay with it." No. He wants us to recognize and to acknowledge that we don't have the things that we need. We oftentimes don't even know the things that we need. And we have to go to Him to ask for those things. And we have to do so knowing that the answer might be no, because we don't know what is best for us. So we have to go to Him with a humble heart. There's a mindset that we put on when we ask for something that we can put on. It all comes down to a choice of how we look at things. How do we frame the situation in life that we're dealing with? If we put on these mindsets, take these opportunities, these five opportunities that we talked about today, then when we actually go and truly ask for something, we have a wonderful opportunity to learn. We have a wonderful opportunity to grow in our faith with our Father. We have a wonderful opportunity to glorify Him to other people. We're not in that position of authority. We may be masters of our own domain here, and we can go about and we can do different things. But if we don't have something, if we have to ask for something, we need to make sure that we're taking on the right mindset. The world around us is just continuing to make more demands, and they treat God and Jesus Christ, they treat them like genies. Like, "Well, if I just ask for this, it's going to happen, and I know it's going to happen because I asked for it. And so go ahead, let's rub the lamp here. Boom, I got what I wanted." God calls us to have a different mindset. He calls us to have a relationship. If you think of all those concepts of the genie is bound by the person making the requests. That's pretty belittling to our Father. We're not here to just make requests and asks and ask for things and demand things from Him. We're here to have a relationship with Him and to recognize that what He's doing in our lives to build us up and to form us into His children is greater than any one single thing that we could want in this life. So when we go before God, let's make sure that we're having that mindset and that willingness to ask in humility, knowing that it could be a no for an answer. And regardless of whatever the answer is, be willing and to look for that opportunity to glorify God and to build our faith and our relationship with Him.